Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Good to connect in this way, as always. Going to be talking about a passage of scripture that's a little bit obscure. It's the kind of thing, not a genealogy, but kind of thing you might go over really quickly. And one of the verses that is one that I think some young teenage boys like to take out of context. That's the tease. Hopefully that'll bring you back in just a few moments. You know, during the pandemic, I have met a lot of people. I've talked about David at the grocery store down the street. I don't know his coworkers, but I was there the other day. David wasn't there. We were chatting. And I could tell you about Mike and Rich and Andrea and Julie and her kids and also Chris and Lori. And I could go on and on. There's just all sorts of folks that I've met in the neighborhood. Greeting is a really important thing. It's something that we do all the time. And we only have one chance to make a first impression. There's some interesting things that Scripture has to say about this. And I think you're going to enjoy this morning's study. We'll be back in just a few moments after this song.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build my my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. And holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
I do want to mention one more time before we get into today's message that we are having the ice cream social distanced at church this afternoon, 1:30. If you haven't RSVP'd, that's okay. Shoot me a text this morning if you can. We just want to make sure that we have enough for everybody. So again, 1:30 this afternoon at church. You can bring a chair if you want to. Looks like it's going to be really nice weather. So I mentioned yesterday that I'm boosting the message from Max. It's not plagiarism. I'm giving him the credit. I'm giving Jesus the credit. You might at some point, I'm going to personalize some things. Obviously, some of it is me. But if I make a really good point and you think, man, that was really interesting, yeah, that was probably Max. I just want you to know that. Giving him the credit right up front. How do we treat people? How do we greet people? It's important. There's all sorts of different little things that we can do that work at making a good impression. Max shares the story about a boss. He had a business. It was his baby. He'd put his heart and soul into it. And he finally got his team together and he said, I can't stand it here anymore. And I'm leaving. I hope to come back and find that you've changed your attitude. But the way we treat one another here, I can't put up with it. And so I'm going to take some time off. And when I come back, I'm going to find out if things have changed. If they haven't, I'm packing it up. You guys will all lose your jobs. It was an ultimatum. And he said, how hard is it to say good morning to someone? How hard is it to simply pause, look someone in the eye, and say good morning? That's all he was looking for. Well, the ultimatum worked. He didn't have to shut down his business. And I think that's a cool story. But how about our culture today? Maybe we need to do an ultimatum there too. You know, there's all kinds of rage. There's road rage, parking lot rage, social media rage. That's out of control. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I'm not on Facebook a whole lot. I know that I'm on Facebook right now. I've never been on Facebook more, but I've never actually been on Facebook looking at it, probably less. But I hear, pick up different things. Do you know what I think? I think that a lot of times people will say things on social media that they wouldn't say if you were right there. Think about that. Don't you think that's true? Do you think that's a healthy thing? I don't. If we're not willing to say it in person, then we probably shouldn't put some rant out there where we just kind of go off because we feel safe, because we're just doing it with our fingers, and because other people aren't in the room. But we can blister people. We can hurt people with the things that come out of our mouths. Let's just pause and pray. If ever we as a culture, as a society, need to be careful, need to recognize that the words that we say, they're important, I think it's now. Father, I pray that you would speak through your word today. I pray that it would be spirit and life for people, that it would encourage. Father, that we might recognize that we can change some things about the simple things that we do and that they will make a difference for other people. I offer myself to you as your instrument, and I pray for each person wherever they are, whenever they might hear this. I thank you that they take the time to listen to the message, and I thank you that you use your word and it does not return to you void. Amen. So Paul, the apostle, gave some direction to the church at Rome. And many a teenage boy, I think, has taken this verse out of context. He says, greet one another with a holy kiss. So I'm thinking that a lot of the young men that got a hold of this verse and didn't know a whole lot about the Bible, they kind of crossed out the holy part, okay? But they were kind of interested in the kiss part. But it was a part of their culture. I mean, every once in a while, I'll have a friend who will just come up and kiss me. I've got a friend who lives out of state. He does like the double Russian thing. He does the kiss on each cheek. I remember that. Now, that's not my thing. I don't do that all the time. But I think it's a really cool way to greet people. Now, this holy kiss thing, I've read the Bible a lot. And I was out to lunch with my brother this past week. And I asked him, I said, how many times do you think it says greet one another with a holy kiss in the New Testament? And he thought about it. And his answer is the same as mine, 2 or 3 times. It's more than that. Paul concludes his message to the Romans by saying, greet one another with a holy kiss. He wrote 2 letters to the Corinthians. He ends each one essentially by saying the same thing. He wrote a letter to the church in Thessalonica. He wrote 2. He ends one of them with the holy kiss line. And the apostle Peter says the same thing. So it's there 5 times. So again, you might not be into kissing. Maybe that's not the way to do it culturally. And I know, you know, handshakes are maybe going to be a thing of the past. But there's simple different things that we can do. Direct eye contact. You know when someone's actually listening to you and when they're not. So, what's the big deal? I've tried to do this lately when I go through drive-thrus. And drive-thrus are a little trickier lately with they hold out the thing and you put the credit card in. And sometimes things are handed to you in a basket. But, you know, I try to make sure I don't have my radio on when I go through the drive-thru. And I try to look the person in the eye. And I've actually mentioned this to some people, and some people who've worked in drive-thrus have said it's really dehumanizing because people come by and are talking on their phone. They never even interact. They never acknowledge the person. And I'm finding that when I say, have a great day, that most people respond very positively. I know it's just kind of a small thing. I heard, I think it was a Geico ad on the radio, and if people want to complain, they're going to complain. It was kind of like a Yelp review, and this woman was just saying, don't tell me what kind of day to have. I can't believe you said, have a great day. You know, that's funny because I don't think too many people are really like that. We can salute a competitor. How we treat somebody that we, whatever the sport is, it shows a lot. Unless you're the Detroit Pistons, and then your thing is that you don't salute the people that you play against. Now, that's ancient history. But that all came out in The Last Dance. There's simple little things that we can do. So, I know some of you are like, okay, preacher, what are you looking for here? You want us to kiss everybody? Well, I want to tell you a story. I mentioned that I have some new friends during the pandemic. This was just before the pandemic. And I'm going to call her Becky because that's her name. And the first time that I met her was in a hospital because her husband was in the hospital. It was a very difficult situation. And I'll always remember it because I'd never met her before, and I wanted to make a good first impression because she's in a difficult situation. And I remember that I extended my hand to give her a firm handshake. Now, I have to say this. If you give one of these, like fish handshakes, repent. Stop. Don't do that anymore. Give a firm handshake. But I'll always remember what she said. She just looked at me and kind of nodded, like she goes, I'm a hugger. Now, I could have declined, but I didn't. What I noted over the course of the next 3 weeks at the hospital is she hugged everybody. She hugged the tech people that came into her husband's room. She hugged the doctors. She hugged the nurses when they arrived and when they left. That's just the way that she was. She made a difference. And now you might say, well, I'm sure that it's not going to affect the doctors and the nurses and stuff. And I'm sure they were just as professional with other patients as they were with Jason. But you know what? I think that they cared more. That simple greeting, it changed the culture of that hospital room. It changed, it did. I was a witness of it. I saw the tears in the doctor's eyes. Tragically, her husband didn't survive, but that didn't stop her from hugging people. The only thing that stopped her from hugging people is a pandemic. I learned something from that, that first impressions, how we treat people, it goes a long way. It's a powerful thing. I read recently from Max, the account of a British minister. And he had told the story about a convict who'd gotten out of prison. He'd been incarcerated for 3 years, gets out of prison, walking down the street, happens to walk past the mayor of the village. And he had, I don't even know if he knew he was the mayor, but he knew that he was a person of distinction. And The mayor had no idea this guy had just gotten out of prison, but he said something to the effect of, "Hello, glad to see you. How are you today?" Okay? Thought nothing of it. Years later, they met in another city. The mayor did not remember this man. But listen to the words that he said. This is what he had to say. He said, "Thank you. I want to thank you for what you did for me on the day that I got out of prison." The mayor's like, "What did I do?" And he said, "You spoke a kind word to me, and it changed my life." We have no idea what somebody else is going through. Our kindness, the words that we speak, a simple greeting can make all the difference. In Max's book, he talks about huggers. And there's this study that was done. Now, I know there's been a study that's been done to prove that you can find a study to prove anything that you want, if you can follow the logic there. It's not really been done, but you get the point. But I think there's truth to this. They had certain students say, make sure you find five people to share a hug with on a daily basis for several weeks. They sent other students to the library to study more. Then they all kept track of their hugs and all kept track of their reading. When it was all done, the huggers were happier. Now, I'm not sure what the metrics were, okay? I don't have all the data. But, you know, I think I could see that. I think it would make a difference. It also says that the huggers are healthier. I could get the information to you. You can do the study yourself if you want. But see, that even says that how we greet people, how we give ourselves to other people just in simple interactions affects us. It's good for us. But it's also very good for others. You know, I've never heard someone say, "You know, Paul, I came to your house for that get-together, and I just want you to know, I was so pleased that you ignored me, because that I knew you were saying, I love you, and you're important to me, and that's why you're ignoring me." Think about it. That's not how that works. Now, I know nobody ever believes that I have a really strong introverted side. People see me as an extrovert. I learned something from my mom a long time ago. When she was in high school, now my mom's name is Mary, but she got nicknamed Sunny because of her bright disposition and how she treated people. And she said something to me, and I think it was when I was in high school, and I think it helped make a change in my life. She said, "I always figured that I, in certain settings, I feel a little bit insecure." And she said, "I figure other people feel insecure, so I'm going to go out of my way to make them feel welcome. And if I do that, I think it'll be a good thing." Yeah, that's something that I picked up from my mom about 45 years ago. And I've tried to do that. Think about it. If you're insecure in a certain situation, you feel a little bit uncomfortable, awkward, whatever it might be, don't you think somebody else might feel that way? Why not just say, "Okay, I'm going to overcome that, and I'm going to reach out." And I think we do that can make a huge difference for people. Max was telling the story of, he was at a dinner party, and several couples were there, and everybody's having a good time. And then one of the couple, the couple that's hosting it, their son came home, and he'd been really battling depression. He's going through a divorce. He's an adult, going through a really rough period in his life. And they took some time, and they chatted with him. Max didn't think much of it at all. But here's how the son remembered it. "Thank you again for tonight. I've never felt so much love walking into a room before. It was kind of crazy. It felt spiritual. I just had this feeling like I was being greeted in heaven or something. It was really powerful. It's like I was instantly surrounded by all of this unconditional love. And it just brought me to a peace like I never felt before. I think that will stay with me forever." Wow. They had no idea. How often do we do something for somebody else and they really have no, we have no idea what an impact it makes on somebody else. So who should we greet? Well, right away we're like, well, we're going to greet the people that we like. I'm going to greet the people that I know. I'm going to greet the people that I would like to know. But the Bible says, just greet one another. So it's all inclusive. It's everybody. Why not? And that's one of the things that I've enjoyed during this pandemic is walking around the neighborhood. And it's not like I'm just talking to everybody. I didn't mention Pavel down at the corner. He wants to go for a bike ride now. But other people have invited me. Matter of fact, there's a group of guys that were in a driveway, and I actually went down a different street because I see one guy so often, I don't want him to think like I just always walk by his house. But now he was sitting in a, actually in a wagon in a friend's driveway, and he remembered my name. He's like, Paul. Anyway, so then they invited me to stick around for a little party there. And I'm like, no, you know, I should go, whatever. And I was about a half mile away, and I thought, now, why did you do that? Why did you leave? They were sincere. They invited you. So I circled back and ended up spending about 45 minutes there. Just a real nice time. Now I've got some new friends. That's another thing. When people extend themselves to you, believe that they really mean it. I mean, I know sometimes you ask them, how are you doing today? And they give you an honest answer, and you're like, I didn't expect an answer. I just wanted you to say fine. No, when you ask, be genuine. Be authentic. Say it like you mean it. So, in the passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 16, verses 3 through 16, I'm not going to read the whole thing. The Apostle Paul greets 26 separate people, plus some families. Now, I don't believe he'd ever been to Rome, because he talks about wanting to get there. But he knew all these people that were there. Now, I had read through these names, and they're hard to pronounce. So here's just a little pointer on pronouncing biblical names. Most people have no idea how to pronounce them anyway, so you can't mispronounce them. I've done it before, and people say, so that's how you say that name. And I'm just like, sure, that's how I say that name. Correct. I don't know if it's right, but that's how I say it. So don't worry about it. Don't sweat that. So he lists some of the different people here. 26 people. First one is Epaphroditus, who's the first convert in Asia. That's significant. He knew that this person was the first convert in Asia, which speaks to the inclusiveness of the church. Jesus came to earth for every single human being who would ever be born. The church, by definition then, is the most inclusive entity on planet earth. So often, it seems that we're put into a position where we're not, or we're painted in that light, but the church is for everyone, for God's redemptive work in every single human life. The next person was Mary, a hard worker. You know, so we've got the first convert in Asia, and now we've got this woman, and he gives this compliment to her. You're a hard worker. I don't know how he knew it. But, you know, sometimes people pass along good information. I did that. I was at a high school reunion. It's been a couple years. And afterwards, I heard a bunch of people say some good things about this one friend of mine, who I actually went to grade school with. And I just decided, a couple years after the fact, it was during the pandemic, I think right at the beginning, I just thought, you know what? It's the opposite of gossip to pass along good information. I'm just like, well, she might think I'm crazy, but I'm just going to say all these people had these good things to say about you. She messaged me back. I didn't do it publicly, I did it privately. She messaged me back and just said, you just made my day. Thanks so much for doing that. Pass along good information. Paul somehow knew that Mary was a hard worker. Now, this is very interesting. Amplius, Urbanus, Hermes, Philoges, Julia. Do you know what those five names have in common? They were very common names for slaves. Now, that's a whole other topic, but slaves existed in the first century. Slaves existed in the Roman Empire, and they were included in the body of Christ. And hopefully they were becoming ex-slaves. And that's what the whole story of the book of Philemon is about, where Paul is urging Philemon to let Onesimus go. But how inclusive is the church? Everybody. Everybody has the same status. Then Aristobulus, believed to have been the brother of Agrippa I and the grandson of Herod the Great. So we're talking royalty. He just mentioned people that were slaves or had been slaves, and now he's talking royalty. Then Narcissus, the secretary of Emperor Claudius. That's pretty interesting. Some pretty well-connected people. You know, he might be like, well, no, Rome's my enemy. Rome would kill Paul. Rome would behead Paul. But no, I'm going to say Rome, I mean the entity of the Roman Empire would put an end to his life. But here he is giving this warm greeting for somebody who's the secretary of the emperor, already following Jesus, which probably means the emperor might have heard a few things about Jesus from his secretary. And Rufus, and we talked about Rufus as we led up to Easter this year, who may very well have been the son of Simon the Cyrene, the man who carried the cross for Jesus on the road to Golgotha. That's I could go into some of the clues as to why we think that that's who that is. But so you've got all these different people, and Paul greets them all, in essence, the same way. Max has pastored down in Texas for ages, and I think he's near San Antonio. And David Robinson, the Admiral, all-star many times over, 7 feet tall. You can't miss him. He's won NBA championships, gold medals. I mean, the guy is just a wonderful human being. He shows up at church. Max is up there giving some opening remarks, and the Admiral walks in. 7 feet tall, striking, handsome figure walks in, and every head in the church, of course, goes to the Admiral. Everyone's just walking. Max said he almost stopped speaking. Probably just go, okay, why don't we just wait for David to have a seat, and then I'll start up. He didn't say that, but I can understand that. There are things that happen at church where it's like, I know nobody's listening right now because of what else is going on. Simultaneous to that, he said there was a man who was a drifter, a homeless man, obviously very poor. His clothing was pathetic, walked in. And everybody noticed David Robinson. And Max, and this is one of the things I get as a pastor. Sometimes you're up front and you have a bird's eye view. You can see things that are going on. There's all kinds of stuff that's going through your head while you're speaking and you see stuff. Well, he noted that this homeless person walked in. And he was so grateful that a kind, tender-hearted elder from his church walked over, greeted that man, and sat next to him. Everybody's going to notice the one person. But that man noticed the one person that probably nobody else did. We can be that. We can be the person that doesn't just notice the celebrity. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we can notice the person who maybe is in need. You know, so there's probably two kinds of people, right? Some that come and say, you know, I am so glad to see you. Isn't that a simple thing to say? But you say, I'm so glad to see you. And other people seem to come across with this thing that says, so glad you can see me. I'm so glad you can see me. There's a big difference between the two. Who do you like to be around? It's the people that are glad to see you. Those are the people that are really good to be around. There's an account, some church registry in Sumter County. In 1965, there's a fellow by the name of Robert Brown, and he made a $178,000 donation to the Methodist Church. He didn't live anywhere near there. He had visited years earlier. He made that contribution to that church for one reason and one reason only: how they welcomed him on his one visit. That's amazing. So, people of West Hills, when we start gathering again, make sure you welcome people, especially if the guy's name is Robert Brown, okay? I doubt he's still around writing $178,000 checks. But it makes a difference. Parents, how do you feel when somebody takes a special interest in your children? Somebody says, oh, you know, I'll tutor your child. Or with sports, it's like, you know, I'm going to work with them. You know, I think about it when I was in high school. I was the tallest kid in my high school. Some of you might not remember that. But, and I'm not complaining, but I could have used somebody who would have put a little confidence into me. But that didn't happen. I wasn't supposed to be a basketball player anyway. That's not the problem. But anytime somebody does take special interest in your children, how do you feel towards them? You love them. Let's think about that. The Bible says that God's our Heavenly Father. So when you take special interest in one of His kids, oh, He loves that. He absolutely loves it when you take special interest in one of His children. Let me ask you this. Now I realize that we're socially distanced and everything, but we got an ice cream social coming up this afternoon. What if, out of the blue, some car pulls up and there's a guy, gets out, he's kind of got a beard, and for some reason he's wearing some clothing that looks like it's from the first century and a pair of sandals. And we're all, it's Jesus. My goodness. All the people that didn't come would be like, we didn't go to the ice cream social and Jesus showed up. Well, everyone would want to go over, and you're not going to be able to give him coronavirus or get it from him, so you could hug him. You want to shake his hand. My goodness, people would be there until he left, that's for sure. Jesus tried to tell us in Matthew 25 that how you treat people that appear to be nobodies. He said, when you do something for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, he said, you do it to me. Think about it. It could be an awkward teenager who feels that they don't fit in. And you just take the time to talk to them. It could be a single parent that's just going through a difficult time, and you listen. You know, sometimes people feel like they got to solve people's problems. I know that when I'm frustrated, I don't need someone to solve my problems. They're probably not going to be able to. But sometimes, just listen. Sometimes I just need someone to hear what I'm feeling. So does somebody else in your world today. Might be a single mom. Maybe you're going to see an elderly woman at the store and you're just going to say, I'm going to carry your stuff for you. I'm going to hold the door for you. Jesus says that when you do that for the simplest little thing, you're doing it for me. You know, I think we all want to make a difference. And we'd all like to feel like we live an important life. And some of us are like, well, I'm not preaching on the internet. I'm not on TV. There's so much that's going on. You know, ultimately, we live for an audience of one. God sees. You know, this whole series, What Really Matters? Yeah, these things really matter. And they matter to God. And they need to matter to us. But when I think about living for an audience of one, that at the end of the day, all that really matters is whether my Heavenly Father was pleased with how I lived the day. And He's going to be pleased if I take good care of His other kids. Yeah, that's going to make Him happy. We live for an audience of one. And we've talked about faith in this series. See, that takes faith. That nobody else might notice what I do, but God does. Nobody else might remember how you treat a stranger, but God always will. Let's close with prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to know that the simplest things can make a profound difference in people's lives. Help us to know that You are ordering our steps. And I've seen You do it so much with Heidi and myself this year that we can't explain how we were, where we were, when we were. We just were. And we offer ourselves to You. You get us in those situations. Lord, some of us need to be put in situations where some people love on us this week because we're all going through a lot. And then on top of it, we've all got our own personal stuff. So we're all going through stuff. Some of us just need to receive. But some of us are in a position where it's like, you know what? We can make a difference. And we may never realize the difference that we make. Fill us with Your Spirit again, Jesus. Fill us with Your DNA, with Your love, and help us to give it all away today, knowing that You'll fill us anew tomorrow. We ask it in Your name. Amen. We've got a song from Hope Rose, and after that, I'll be back to say goodbye.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. My daily bread, Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for You, and I.
Thank you again for joining us. I hope to see you this afternoon, but regardless, have a wonderful week. God bless you. Walk in His grace. Thank you.